So anyway, we're in covering right now. This is Acts chapter 16, and we are now in verse 25. But they were, Paul and Silas was singing in the prison despite their circumstances, and that's such a blessed example that we could pull from here this morning. They chose to be a blessing in the middle of their pain and suffering. We read last week that right before Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, they were actually stripped naked and beaten really bad. I praise the Lord for this testimony of that we're seeing here of Paul and Silas, and I pray that I would even be marginally capable at this point in my life of and being willing to be used by God when I'm up against such trials. That's true faith, ladies and gentlemen, true faith. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains came loose. That reminds me of that song that we just sung, Amazing Grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. That's a different version, you know, of that song. It's a beautiful song. Yeah, but they were free. But notice it also says that all the doors, plural, were open and everybody's chains came loose. We don't know how many other prisoners that were in the cells that day, but we know that there were prisoners based upon what it's saying here. We don't know how many cells were broken open, but it says all the doors were open. This is more than just about Paul and Silas now. This violent earthquake must have been significant too, because it caused such turmoil. Has any of you ever been in an earthquake before? It's a scary proposition. Yeah, it's scary. You would even wonder if maybe as it was happening, you're looking at the doors and the windows and the ceilings, thinking that maybe it's going to be coming down on top of you. I know I would probably at that point be running for the door. Wouldn't you? But for some reason, all the prisoners stayed put. I tell you, the Holy Spirit must have intervened in this situation for sure. Verse 27 now says, when the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself since he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, you may recall that this is not the first prison story in Scripture here. Jeremiah just read one out of Acts 12, and we'll talk about it a little bit too. This is again where the Holy Spirit is intervening with these missionaries who are putting themselves on the line so that people's lives can be changed. I would propose that the guard here that's talking about killing himself probably thought his life was through one way or another. Either the prisoners was going to kill him as they were trying to escape, or the Roman authorities themselves would be trying to kill him subsequently. That's exactly what happened in what Jeremiah read right after that, where Peter's prison guards, when the angel helped Peter escape back in Acts chapter 12. Sadly, all the guards were executed in that story as a result. Maybe even heard about that, knew that that was standard practice back then. If you let the prisoners escape, you're going to be held accountable. He may also be here attempting suicide, maybe honor suicide, because he thought that maybe he failed in his role as a prison guard. We don't know the reason, but all we know is that he was getting ready to take his own life with a sword. Verse 28 continues, it says, but Paul called out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself, because we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he escorted them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow. Now you might be thinking that if God causes an earthquake, why did Paul and Silas go through with, why didn't they go through the escape attempt? I mean, that's probably what I would have thought, that God has provided me a way out. I'm going to take advantage. But they, for some reason, they didn't. What we're seeing in this verse is a real reason that God caused the earthquake in the first place. It wasn't for Paul and Silas directly, not as opposed to the Peter case. Here, it was about the prison guard. And perhaps later, for the purposes of making impact in that area so that it would set a foundation, a new foundation, of starting a church there in Philippi. We don't know for sure, but it's obvious that through praying and singing of hymns that the prison guard realized that these men were special. I mean, he was watching them as they were praying. And as the other prisoners were were just awestruck by what they were enamored by their faith. Even the other prisoners, as they were listening to them, they decided not to leave. Paul realized that God had turned that prison in some small way into a church. What does it say about church? It says, where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. That's church. You know, so this example here in prison, it's effectively a church. He was probably seeing that God working in that prison even before the earthquakes. This message today is entitled Shaken Foundations. But it isn't the prison's foundation that we're referring to here. It's the foundation of the guard and the foundations of the city even. They were shaken and God was moving in that area. And Paul was wise enough and mature enough in his faith and understanding of God's will that he went along with God's plan. That's what we're to do. We're supposed to keep our eyes and our hearts open so we can see God moving and join in to the effort that's being presented to you. It's not all about you. Sometimes it's about them. And sometimes it's great to see God moving in that regard. We should be so sensitive to God's will in our own life. I will even suggest that to you as a result, this prison guard and the other prisoners might have become effectively the first members of what we know to be the Philippian church that Paul started there, perhaps. Our God is so awesome. And now the prison guard here asks him, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's awesome. That is just amazing. They were in captive. Sometimes I wish I could lock the doors and put prison doors and let's just go through the whole Bible all at one time. But they had a captive audience and it's making a difference. Now this guard even, his heart is stirred. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's awesome. Verse 31 says, they, Paul and Silas, said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everybody else in the house. He took them aside. He took them the same hour that night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into the house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Isn't that amazing? The guard witnessed some amazing events that day, I would argue. First, Paul and Silas's faith and the response of that faith in the other prisoners. Then the earthquake and the fact that these prisoners didn't even attempt to escape. Then Paul caring enough to stop the guard from killing himself. This has been a night that none of them will ever forget. And notice that Paul spoke the word of the Lord to all the household there. Not just the guard, the man, the leader of the house. He spoke it to all of them. And all of them were subsequently baptized and rejoiced. And we would propose that means children, perhaps, and the wife, and probably servants that were all there in the household. They all believed, they all were baptized, and they all rejoiced. A night of shaken foundations, indeed. Lives were changed for eternity. And it set the foundation for a church. Verse 35 says, when daylight came, the chief magistrates sent the police to say, release those men. The jailer reported these words to Paul. The magistrates have sent orders for you to be released. So come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they beat us in public without a trial, although we were Roman citizens. They threw us in jail. And now they are going to send us away secretly? Certainly not. On the contrary, let them come themselves and escort us out. See, Paul was so smart. He was the perfect missionary apostle for this job at hand. You might know that Paul, before being chosen by Jesus to be an apostle, was really training to become a high priest himself in the Jewish religion. Paul knew not only the Jewish law, but he knew the Roman law. He was perfect for this job. Paul also knew that this newly established Roman city of Philippi, it was on shaky grounds. It was like on a trial basis with the Roman government. Paul knew all that, and he knew that he now had something called leverage. Leverage. Leverage is good, wouldn't you say, Jeremiah? Leverage is good. Sometimes we as Christ followers, we too will be persecuted for some higher purpose than what we think is apparent. Look for God in your circumstances. Jesus said, as written in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents." Another version says shrewd. "Innocent as doves." That is what Paul was doing here, and that's what we should be realizing and doing ourselves. Finally, in verse 38, it says, "The police reported these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that Paul and Silas was a Roman citizen, so they came to appease them, and escorting them from the prison, they urged them to leave the town. And after leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house," remember the lady of purple, "where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters and then departed." So the city's government officials were very smart to appease Paul's request here. As it is right now, it is against the law to persecute, to beat, and imprison a Roman citizen. And so Paul, having that Roman background, he used that as leverage to make a way, not only for him, but also the foundation of this new church. This whole unfortunate incident shook the foundations of the prisoners and the prisoners, but it shook the foundation of the prison guard and his family, and it shook the foundation of the city officials here. It was actually now creating a new foundation for the church in Philippi. God knew what he was doing. It's nothing that we could have ever figured out. It was holy in its intent. And Paul and Silas knew that God knew what he was doing. The question is, do you likewise believe that God knows what he's doing in your life circumstances? Many things in our lives will happen that we will not fully grasp the reasons why. Will you trust God anyways? In Paul's situation today, the results were shortly realized, but it may be generations before the results of God's plan fully unfold. Will you trust God with your life and your joys as well as your sorrows and your challenges? Will you trust that God is in control and that you can still have much faith despite them? Even in the difficulties that this life will offer you, those who trust in the Lord can still sing Him praises. Amen? Now let me take you back to my jail time experience. The judge finally called us prisoners into the courtroom. And I was told to stand before the great judge, Roy Clark, if you would believe it. His name was Roy Clark, like hee-haw, Roy Clark. I thought I was in trouble. Oh man, I thought I was going to get burnt. He asked if I had a lawyer, and I told him I did. He went like this, he says, "Where is he?" I knew I was in trouble. But he ordered bailiff to get my lawyer. And until then, I watched as several of the other prisoners got put in front of the judge and they lost their license and they got some hefty fee over and over again, and I wasn't looking too promising for me. When my lawyer finally showed up, the judge called us before him, and he and my lawyer had a little sidebar conversation. Then the judge said something, I believe what was in Latin, and he hit his gavel. I asked my lawyer what that meant, to which my lawyer said, "Shut up, he's letting you go." It turned out they recognized that I shouldn't have been there in the first place. And so they gave me credit for a good lesson learned. It wasn't my fault that the lawyer never called to extend my court date. And the term that they used effectively says, you know, we're letting you go. You learned your lesson. The moral of this Bible story here today, and my story as well, is that as Christians, we have nothing to fear. God is with us, and He will never forsake us. In the gloomiest of situations, you can still have hope and peace despite your circumstance. And just like the judge in my prison experience and the judge in Paul's prison experience, let us go. Our Father in heaven today is offering you that same pardon. His pardon is for all of your indiscretions, to free you from all guilt and sin. The prison guard asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul sums that question up in three verses. He says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works that one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has work for us to do. We are going to heaven by grace, not of works. So, saved by grace. The word grace has various meanings, but as it relates to salvation, it speaks of kindness bestowed on one who does not deserve it. In Romans 3:24, Paul says that Christians are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came from Christ. In other words, because Christ paid the price, it is now possible for Christians to receive grace or favor that we do not deserve. In Ephesians 1:7-8, the apostle says, "In Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding." In every instance where grace is mentioned in the Bible, it is entirely due to God's favor, not human works. We are saved by grace alone through faith. According to Ephesians 2:8, grace is only received by those who exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Faith like what we saw today with Paul and Silas in that prison despite their circumstances. Real faith. How then can one know whether he has put his faith in Christ or not? Well, the answer is through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and repent, then the Holy Spirit joins our soul and our life's journey. We're not alone. We're never alone. The Holy Spirit inside us then convicts us and He guides us. That dynamic should be evident now in your works. What comes out of you is an indication of what is inside you. As written in John 5:36, Jesus said Himself that the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. That's what Jesus said. What does your works say, brothers and sisters? Does your works testify to the fact that you are a Christian and that you are saved? There are really only two types of people in our world today. And I'm not talking about rich or poor. I'm not talking about male or female. I'm not talking about black, brown, or white. No, there's only really two types of people. Those who are saved eternally or those who are lost eternally. Paul and Silas in here were behind bars, but they were really not prisoners. They still sang songs and had hope in their hearts despite their dismal circumstances because they had confidence that they were saved for all eternity despite the circumstance. God was with them even in that prison cell. There are many people today that we know that even though they're not literally behind bars, they still are prisoners. Prisoners in their hearts and prisoners in their minds, without joy, knowing that their future is secure in heaven. Prisoners without hope and without the love of Jesus. And it's so sad. We all know who those people. And I pray none of you are those people. Do you feel that you don't have the love of God in your life? Then this is a time for us to consider. So will you join me in prayer about this now? And as Jamie gets up here and sings, if you haven't done so yet, call upon Jesus. Because I promise you, He will never put you on hold. For He loves you so. Would you please rise? Let's go to Lord prayer first and then we'll sing. Father God, we thank You for Your message here today. Father God, I plead to you that you use us in such a way that we can take this message out of these four walls and present this gospel love letter message to the world. Father God, I ask you to protect us like you protect them. And I ask that you inspire us to sing praises despite our circumstances. And as we close here today, Lord, if there's anybody who would love to come forward to join this church, to accept you as their personal Savior, or just for us to get praying over them, that they come forward now. Lord, it's in your precious name we pray. And the word church says, amen. Amen. Now as we sing this, as she plays this next song, just the first verse of the Amazing Grace, it's going to give us an opportunity to respond. Okay? Father God, we love you. We need you day by day more and more. And we ask that you continue to bless this church for your purposes alone. It's in your precious name we pray. Anybody say it?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go ahead and play that little video there. Go ahead and play a little ditty, and she's going to put a video on too. Thank you, everybody. This video I'm going to show you, by the way, it's just an inspirational Christmas lights video. It's pretty cool.